honor you, Lord Holy Spirit. Thank you for visiting with us once again this evening as we gather under the covering of our said spiritual fathers. We hallow your presence in our midst as we go into your word, Heavenly Father. I strip myself of every confidence that I yet have in my own knowledge or ability to share your word. I duck under the covering of my said spiritual parents, and I'm asking that the same grace upon their lives will rest upon me for this brief period I'll be sharing, to bring a word in season, a word of exhortation, a word to encourage us, a word to make us ready for your appearing in your church. As we go into your word, Father, I put my confidence in your mercy to be faithful steward. Help me to bring out of treasure board both things new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Help me to redeem it. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, and the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, to cause our wills become more humble, our minds become more enlightened by revelation that goes forth today, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. We come to give you all the praise and all the glory for all you do in our midst today. Help me to redeem time, not to say things that are unnecessary. You honor your presence in our midst, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we worship you, Lord. Just a word of exhortation. I'm trusting God to bring it forth in accuracy as God brought it to me. And the spin-off from what Pastor Kunle was sharing last Sunday, during the sermon about our time of visitation. As I was meditating on the scriptures, I discovered that God often visits his people. Backward from Genesis, often of this present time, there are set times and seasons in which God comes to manifest his glory. In particular, to do something that is so difficult or impossible, seemingly impossible. You know, when God's people get to a certain place, like they reach a brick wall and they can't cross, but God just comes and steps into the scene and visits his people. And when he visits his people, he brings to pass promises that look like can never come to pass again. And like Pastor Colin was sharing beautifully on Sunday, in the time of Israel, they missed the idea of visitation. The Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own knew him not. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become what? The sons of men. If you look in our lives today, you find that many things, I have my own, that look absolutely impossible. You know, in the body of Christ too, there are things, there are promises we see that look absolutely impossible, that this can never happen again. And then also in our nation, Nigeria, with the current state of affairs, things that are going on, the things we hear daily, people that are being killed and murdered, rigging, bribery, giving out money, you begin to wonder, God, can these things really happen again? But I'm here to tell us by the mercy and grace of God that we are in that time of visitation, in which God will bring to pass, the Bible says, talks about in the book of Isaiah, he said, will bring to pass a strange act. Something that looks very impossible. He comes on the scene, delivers his people, brings about salvation, and you find there's so much rejoicing, and people, again, they will turn their hearts on back when you say, like time of Elijah. Praise the Lord. The title of my message is Knowing Our Time of Visitation. Let's say God, knowing our time of visitation. It is very important for us to know our time of visitation. It's not only good enough for us to say we're in a time of visitation, but we need to know there by revelation, not just a mental accent, that is good, but to know actually by revelation that we're in that time and that season. I put it there. I said God moves in times and seasons in his dealings with people. You're going to see some scriptures to back it up as I continue. You know, it's as if God will wait. That's why I think it's the psalmist that said, talking to God, say, God, wake up from your sleep, arouse thyself. You know, as if God, and Isaiah says that, hold the Lord God that hideth himself, as if God is no more there. And then people begin to wonder. You know, people begin to doubt. Is this thing going to? People give up hope. That was why, if you notice the story of Mary and Martha, you see, their faith could not go beyond physical death. So when the master appeared, they said, your friend would not have died if only you had come. That means their hope was like, okay, if he comes before, now that he's still sick, the master can do something. But if he dies, that's the end. So by the time the master came and he was dead 4 days, they had lost their faith. Are you following me? So they said, if you had been here, your friend would not have died. And the master, didn't I tell that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Praise the Lord. When that season of visitation and God is going to manifest. God is going to take glory of God to bring that which is impossible back to life. Praise the Lord. And I define here, let's put a brief definition behind this. I say the time of vision is a period of time in which God, first of all, prepares his people. Say, prepares his people. And then manifests his power and glory in order to bring a long-awaited promise to pass. That is the time of visitation. It's a time in which God, first of all, prepares his people before he comes. Then after preparing his people, they will now manifest his power and glory, especially to bring a promise that seems not to come to pass, to pass. A long-awaited promise to bring it to pass. In which people have given up hope. You know, like watching a football match. By the time it starts getting to 5 minutes to the end of the match, most people have left the place and said, we'll be believing God for another time. So, but we're in that season, and that is what God is about to do. And God delights in visiting his people. Psalm 8, verse 4. He says that, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou art visitest him? God always desires to visit his people. Because the Bible says he delights, he wants to visit us. He wants, he delights in us being, happy. He delights in our joy. So we are in that season and we are time. And I put it there, God normally visits three sets of people in the entire human race. There are three sets of people, or his visit is in three orders. Firstly, he visits individuals. Say individuals. Then his church. And then nations. So why am I saying this? We need all not only to expect a visitation in our nation, we should also expect God's visitation in his church and also in his visitation in our individual lives. Like we can see in the life of Abraham and Sarah. Genesis chapter 21 verses 1 and 2. Let's go there. So God had given a promise. We are going to dwell on this area for some time today, but let's just read it as we continue. And the Lord visited as he has said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Next verse. For Sarah conceived, and bare Abraham a son in his what? Old age. At the set time of which God has spoken to him. Pastor had spoken to us and mommy at the beginning of the year that this is the year of new births, new beginnings, upgrade, and we have just a few months to go. It seems as if it's not going to happen. It's been happening, but not at the level at which you expect. But I'm here to tell us that we should not lose hope. We should stand strong like Abraham did at that time. And surely we'll all see what the salvation of God. He said God visited Sarah as he spake unto him, unto her. But if you notice, it was not Sarah that God spoke to, it was Abraham. We're going to see as time goes on. Praise the Lord. So also his church, Luke chapter 1 verse 79. He visits his church also, his own body. There's no way God can leave his church in the way which it is today. He has to visit the church. Are we there? Luke chapter 1, verse 78. Well, this was when Zechariah was talking. He said, to give to the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has what? Visited us. This was when John the Baptist was born. So he sent John the Baptist to prepare. But at that time, the crowd being said something, said, the day spring has what? Visited us. He understood the time that time for God to visit Israel had come. And then the third aspect, we look at the nations. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 22. God gave them a promise. He said, look, after 70 years, I'm going to bring them out of Babylon. Babylon captivity. Let's look at that. They shall be carried to what? To Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I what? Visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. Talking about the promised land in which they were before God took them away. Presently, the church is in Babylonian captivity, as we have been taught. And God has promised. See, there is a time and a season in which God has promised to bring out his people. You see, we may experience deliverance individually in certain areas. We're talking about where there's a major shift in the purpose of God. Like Paul said something. He said, I was one born out of due time. Praise the Lord. So God is going to visit his people. How about the psalmist? Let's open a man ask you behind Psalm 85, verse 8. You know, the psalmist was crying. He said, Lord, won't you revive us again? Are we there? He says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not what? Turn again to folly. Next verse. Surely his word, his salvation is now to them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Praise the Lord. So we see from these scriptures that God wants to visit his people. He will visit individuals, visit his church, and also visit the nation. Why? That he may bring his purpose to pass. You see, if God does not come on the scene, it will be very, very difficult for God's purposes in this end time to come to pass. So that's why we always come and visit his people. Praise the Lord. Let's put our scripture behind it that Pastor Clint was sharing on Sunday. Luke chapter 19, verse 44. He told them, he said, they wept over Jerusalem. And he said, they did not know their time. Let's read together. It says, and shall what? Lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not live in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because, let's together, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. That means that from that scripture, God expects them to know and to respond to that time. But they did not know. Not because God did not want to know, because they despised those that God sent to them. They despised John the Baptist. They didn't listen to what he was saying. Everybody went about doing what he wanted to do. So all the 3 years that Jesus Christ was with them, manifesting his glory, they were despising. He said he had Beelzebub. He said all kinds of things. And it came to a time that the master wept over Jerusalem. And he said, you missed your day of visit. Because of what? What was coming ahead. See, each time God visits his people, he has two sides, a two-edged sword. In the time of God's goodness, at a time of severity. Praise the Lord. And when that scene, like I said, that God is going to visit individuals, he's going to visit his church, also he's going to visit the nation. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. Isaiah was crying, said, oh Lord, rend the heavens. Are we there? 64. Let's start from verse 1. Say, let's go down. This is the same cry that you see in the book of Psalms. It says, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. It's a cry in Isaiah. So I say, that thou what wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. So he already tells us what happens when God comes down. Next verse. As when the what? Melting fire burneth. The fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversary, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Next verse. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, and the mountains flowed down at what thy presence. Next verse. Now, what sign, what season is this? We see. Say, for since the beginning, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor what? Perceived by the ear, neither had the eye seen, God, beside thee, what he had prepared for him that waited for him. That means God's people must be waiting for him in this season. This is where Paul picks that up from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, where he said, eye has not seen, nor hear, and nor enter in the heart of men. What has prepared for those that love him? That already tells us it's not just a passive waiting, it's the waiting which you prepare and perfect the love of God. It is that waiting as a perfect love of God that will cause the heavens to be rent, and God will come suddenly into his temple. I follow me. So that is the season we are in. Praise the Lord. And I put two reasons here. I said, why does God want to visit his people? I've mentioned it in passing, but let's just put some scriptures to explain it. God is about to visit his church to bring a long-awaited promise that looks impossible to come to pass. What is that promise? The promise of the manifestation of the sons of God. He said, I've been hearing this thing from the very first day I got born again. I've been hearing about the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, from different people, I read about it. I read prophecies that people gave. In fact, I read one that came to my hearing about late Smith Wigglesworth. When he was praying over his spiritual son, Lester Sumrall, he started weeping. That kind of experience that I think was Elijah that had when he was praying over that man that became a king. Just started weeping over the boy. Then Lester Sumrall was a young boy. He used to go and visit Smith Wigglesworth, and he was weeping. And the boy, Lester Sumrall, I said, why are you weeping? He said, God has shown me three visions in my life. And said, two have come to pass. He said, but the third one will not be in my lifetime. But he said, it's very likely to be in your lifetime. He said, God showed him things that he could not describe. So I was telling young Lester Samara, I said, he said, it was like, I wish I could be part of this. And when we read about Wigglesworth, the things that raised 21 people from the dead, we always wonder. And the guy saw something that was greater, far greater than what he did. So he was weeping and said, he's like, God, what to God, I could be part of this. But God said, it's not your time. Like he told Daniel. And, you know, when you read those kind of things, you get excited. Thank God I'm alive in this season. But, guys, Lester Tamara has died some years back now. But see, one thing I remember is that, Kenneth Copeland said something. He said, the death of Lester Tamara, one of his articles, I can't remember clearly, just to try and, he said, it's like the beginning. Say, for that man to have died at that time, that means that has already begun. It's just that it has not come into full bloom. Are you following me? So, what is that promise? The manifestation of the sons of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. We all know the scriptures. It's just to encourage us, to ginger us up, not to lose hope. Let's look at that. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. That is what God is trying to tell us. Because there are times that, when I look at it, for the past 20 years, I've been hearing that this thing is going to come to pass. I'm 50-something now by the grace of God, and I'm not growing younger. And I'm saying, you miss, it's been in you. Say, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath what a great recompense of reward. Next verse. For you have need of patience, and after you have done the will of God, you might receive what? The promise. Praise the Lord. It says, cast not away. Why will God tell us not to cast away our confidence? Because it's possible to cast it away. That is when you look at circumstances, situations, and you wonder, this thing may not come to pass again. Then you might likely say, let me believe God for something else. As far as this one is concerned, it's too late. That is the experience that Abraham had and his wife. 25 good years. He wasn't speaking in tongues, though. There was no Bible for him to read. All God did was to bring the man out at 75. And then, you know, at 75, you yourself should be wondering, is it really a dream or did it really occur? At that age, did you really see him? So it's very possible to cast away. In fact, he did many times. That's why he went into Agar. But before this promise, let me try and make it work. And then God said, no. Then he also said, maybe it's Eliezer. God said no. Because it looks absolutely impossible. Praise the Lord. So the Bible, God is saying, cast not away your recompense that has what? Not just a reward, a great recompense of reward. Say, for you have need of patience that so after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And that says that he that shall come will come. I will not tarry. Habakkuk says, even though it tarry, wait for it. Praise the Lord. So it's very, very important for us to wait. So I put it here. What is that promise? Pastor Stoto said, just like God gave life to the dead bodies of Abraham and Sarah, God will give life to our spiritually dead, not mortal bodies to give birth to the manifestation of the fullness of the Son of God. You see, when we talk about the manifestation of the Son of God, we should not look at it in abstract. But what it comes down to is this. The life of God, filling not just your spirit, filling your soul, and then your physical body. So when people touch you, they touch life. This is what the experience that people like Paul had. You know, and Paul was saying, I pressed toward the mark. They had a taste of it. That's why when he was preaching one day and one boy fell from the third loft or so, he went over the boy and just laid on the boy. And he still said, don't worry, his life is in him. He transferred the life that was in his body and his clothes right to that boy. And he picked off the boy. Are you following me? So that is what we are talking about. That is what it comes down to. The life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh, in your soul, in your will, mind, emotions, and also in your physical body. So that when you move every day, the Bible says that the word became flesh. That life begins to flow out of your physical body. Where there is no more hindrance. Praise the Lord. That's what it means. Speaking, you know, in real terms. And also the same that means is that the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Let's turn there. is the same when talk about the glory of God being made manifest. That is the basic thing that it means when that life is manifest in the abundance. Master said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. The Bible says that wherein I can't remember now, it's written, whereunto God has called us, yes, whereunto He called you what? By our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Same glory, no difference. And the master went a step further. He said, the works that I do, you shall do, and shall also do greater. These are things that, after some time, your mind boggling, begin to wonder, I still woke up late this morning. You know, but God is saying, but it's not by might, not by power, or by my spirit. So like I put it there, that is what God is about to do. He's going to bring to pass a long-awaited promise. And that is just a major promise. This is the promise of all promises. Every other thing is under this. Are you following me? Every other thing is under this promise. You want a husband, you want a wife, you want children. Every other thing is under this promise. That is why God is focusing His main attention. And He wants us to focus our main attention on this manifestation of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Then the second point I have here is this. It says that Isaiah is a time of the manifestation of God's goodness and severity. You see, any time God visits His people, what brings goodness to some people will bring severity to other people. Why? Because some people will not just, they will be on the other side. Are you following me? Say, for example, you know, there was a time, when you hear about the visitation again, it reminds you of, you know, inspection. Like that guy that was under covering and was the marriage feast. And the master came. And he said, how come? How did you enter? How come you don't have a wedding garment? Because he probably the guy thought, since I'm inside now, I'm okay. But the master came and he said, how come you don't have a wedding garment? He said, cast that unprofitable servant into what? Outer darkness. And said, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So it's the time of God's goodness. God's goodness and His severity. Romans chapter 11 verse 22. Let's look at it a little bit closer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Behold, let's look at it. Behold, therefore, the what? The goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity. But toward thee, say toward me, goodness. If thou do what? Continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. We will not be cut off in Jesus' name. But what I want to see is this. That time of visitation is the time of God's goodness to His people. Those that are waiting for Him. Those that are crying, God rend the heavens. Praise the Lord. And like Pastor Kuni was sharing, you know, from Songs of Song the other day. He says, awake, O north wind. Awake, thou south. There was a time that the garden was enclosed. We are God's garden, like He was sharing with us. You know, it seemed like nothing is happening. There was no visitation, there was nothing. But there came a season and a time in which the master said, awake, O north wind, and thou south, blow upon my garden, and let the spices thereof flow out. That was the time of visitation for that garden. Praise the Lord. It's a time of God's favor. Bible says, for the set time to favor Zion has come. So in that season, things begin to happen. You see the butterfly break out of the cocoon and emerge. Something that looked absolutely impossible. You see the cocoon hanging on a leaf or something. Say, there's nothing inside this thing now. People say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Like Nathaniel said. But all of a sudden, the cocoon breaks and the butterfly emerges and it begins to fly. That is where we are now. Praise the Lord. Let us look at Songs of Solomon chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. That Pastor Kunle was sharing. I say it's a time of God's goodness and a time of God's severity. A garden enclosed. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. Talking about the church. A spring shut up and a fountain sealed. Next verse. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire and spikenard. Go to where it says that we could not win because of time. Let's go. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may what? Flow out. And let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. When that time and season, that God will cause the north wind to blow, and the south wind of prosperity to blow upon the garden. And the spices that have been kept there, the fruits, it begins to flow out. It is that fruit that the master is coming to his garden. But he's noticed it's been enclosed for some time until this time of visitation. It's as he was saying, awake, O north wind. Awake, thou south. Like I said, that is God's goodness. The other part of it, this same wind that brings God's goodness, he sends scripture and says, awake, O sword, upon my shepherd. As you can see, the goodness said, those that believe, those that don't believe shall be cut off. So it's a time of God's goodness to his people. But there is no goodness without severity. How will you know something is good if you don't see severity? There has to be a time of separation. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. Exodus 34, verse 7. No, before we go there, Exodus 33, verse 18. You see, when Moses was asking God, he said, show me your glory. And God defined the manifesting of his glory as his goodness. Next, are we there? Exodus 33, verse 18. Are we there? Say, and he said, I beseech thee, show me what? Thy glory. So God responded. Next verse. Verse 19. And he said, what? I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The set time to favor Zion has come. Now look at the other side. That same experience that Moses had, in which he was asking God to show him his glory. When God began to reveal his goodness, look at what happened. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. What did he say? Say, keeping mercy, let's look at keeping mercy for what? Thousands, forgiving what? Iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will be by no means clear what? The guilty. Let's look at visiting. Say, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon the children, upon their children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. It was that same experience that Moses had when he was asking for God to manifest his glory, that God declared his name, that okay, this is my goodness and this is my severity. Praise the Lord. And like I said, let's just put the scripture behind it. Amos chapter 5, verse 17. He says he's going to walk through his vineyard. You see, God needs to visit his vineyard. He said, that's parable, I don't have time to go there. He said when he was going somewhere, he said he gave his vineyard to some husbandmen to take care of it. So he sent servants to them. They killed one, they stoned another one. He said, okay, let me send my son. So maybe if I send my son, maybe they will listen to him. They took the son, they killed him. I said, maybe by killing the son, we will get the inheritance. The spirit of that measure. That's what people have done to the prophets in this present day. They stoned them. Thinking that when they destroy those that God has sent to them, that's an easy way for them to get the inheritance. It doesn't happen like that. Say, and all, let's get that. And in all vineyards shall be what? Waiting. For I will what? Pass through. Say, pass through. Pass through this year, the Lord. The vineyard in the Bible speaks about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you produce wine. Revelation on it. Say, I'm going to pass through it. Say, when I pass through it, how come people are wailing? Because when he passes through, it's going to come as a refiner's fire. It's going to come as a consuming fire. So what people have not seen before will happen. So that's why God is telling us that we should be ready when he appears. Praise the Lord. Zechariah 11 verse 8. I mentioned in the past, Zechariah 11 verse 8 says, three shepherds also will I cut off in 1 month, and my soul will tell them, and their soul also will abhor me. That is, you see, what are we trying to say? Not to make us afraid. But you see, there's no way when God manifests his glory, even though there's rejoicing on one side, there's going to be wailing on another side in the same body. Just like in Goshen, there was light. And outside in Egypt, it was darkness. That Bible calls it the good and the terrible day of the Lord. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Moses said something when they were arguing, they contended with him. He said, if the Lord does not do something and does not visit these people with something that has never occurred before, then you know God has not spoken by me. You see, why am I trying to say this? When in time of visitation, God does something he has never done before. Promises that you buried, that can never come to pass again. God comes and he brings it to pass. Because he is God. Praise the Lord. So I put it there. I said, in studying the scriptures, I saw that usually there are three kinds of visitation that are tally with three feasts in Israel. If you look through the scriptures, we'll look at them. And each one always culminates, or there's always a bringing forth of a child. Passover, it happened. Pentecost, it happened. Tabernacles that were not experienced before is going to happen in the matter of two or three witnesses. Let everyone be established. Praise the Lord. So at Passover, we all know how when Moses was born and he brought them out of Egypt, you know, through the Red Sea, and they continued their journey to the promised land. Praise the Lord. But see, what I saw is this. Before each visitation, God would have sent a message to prepare his people. Just like the time of John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, he sent John the Baptist. He kept on screaming and shouting like Pastor was sharing on Sunday. He said, the axe is laid at the foot of the tree, and every tree that does not bring forth not any fruit, said good fruit. So, in this time also, before Moses was ever born, God spoke to Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. When he was talking to him about bringing forth a child and all that, after he had been waiting for the promise, God now showed him something to come. And he said unto Abraham, know of what? A surety, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall do what? Serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Next verse. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge severity. And after all shall they come out with great substance. But you see, when God spoke that, there was nothing you could do about it. He already said the time and the season. You could not pray that thing to happen before his time. It was not possible. And look at what happened. At that time, he didn't have a child. So Abraham began to, you are saying that your seed will go to a strange land, you know, and he didn't mention the land, just say Amorites, and they will be there for 400 years, after I will bring them out again. Abraham will be wondering which seed, where, which nation, he didn't mention anything. But of course, we all know, even though it took 30 extra years, I follow me for the promise, but it still came to pass. That's why we can hasten or we can delay it. You know what happened? Moses kind of delayed it when he acted before time. You see, we must not act before time. But the good thing we are saying that, you know, is that based on what we've been taught, we're in that season. Praise the Lord. So we saw what happened. You know, God spoke to him. And then when he, in that same regard, you know, that was when he gave the promise of his son, of Isaac. Like we read earlier on. See, according to the time of life, Sarah gave birth. After he told him what would happen, that his seed would, he now did something in the natural. He allowed that seed to come forth. Praise the Lord. And that was a promise that Joseph echoed. So, to show us again that even though he gave Abraham and Sarah a child, that was not a promise. Because what he told Abraham was that, look, I will take them out. I will take them to the land which I promised them. You don't have time to go there. So, he just kind of, he sealed with an oath. But the natural, he gave him a son. But look, at least we have, at least a token. So, you know that once you can see this, this is the beginning of that generation that will come forth from you, that will go to that promised land. Praise the Lord. So we see it. So that was why Joseph could swear. Because he knew that the time of visitation was coming. Genesis chapter 50, verse 25. You know, Joseph knew the Bible, even though there was no Bible. They have been telling each other verbally, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. And he had seen God move over this period of time. So by the time he got to Egypt, and God raised him up and brought his own personal dream to pass, it was a surety for him that everything that God has said will come to pass. That is what God wants us to do. That is, you look at these promises that look impossible. You look at your own life, maybe before you got born again, how God brought you up. I look at my own life, I know God did. So when I look at that, no matter what happened, I can say of a surety, God is going to bring the other promises to pass. Because you see, Joseph's promise that came to pass was locked up inside what God told Abraham when he visited him. Praise the Lord. So, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God, say God, we surely what? Visit you. And you shall carry up my bones from hence. He was so sure. God wants us to be sure. God wants us to be so sure. God forbid we are not going to die. We want to experience that promise. But see, Joseph was saying, look, I don't care what happens to you. I'm about to leave the earth. But look, I'm telling you up front. Swear to me that when God visits you, carry my bones and take it out of this place. He was so sure. Without the Bible, But he had the experience after such a delayed period of time that God gave him a dream. He saw God gradually bring the, when he looked absolutely impossible. Praise the Lord. So that was the manifestation of when Passover occurred. Talking about natural Israel, God brought them out through Moses. That's when the time of the promise drew near. Things started happening and Moses was born. But see, as I said again, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9, it says, there remained therefore a rest unto the people of God. Is that promise we are talking about, like I defined it earlier, is life of Christ made manifest in our mortal flesh. That is the promised land of the Christian. The perfection and the fullness of Christ. That is the birthing we are expecting and waiting for. But just in types and shadows again, the same thing occurred during the feast of Pentecost. You know, told them, he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with what? With power. But I'll bring out another story we've read before that also typifies this. To show God's what? Faithfulness in life of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. I say, each season, Passover, God will witness, bring forth a witness, a token to give birth. Say, then she arose. That's what this is talking about Naomi. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might what? Return from the country of Moab. Four. Say four. She had what? Heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had what? Visited his people, giving them bread. We know the story. They went to Moab. They were there for over 10 years. If you read, it wasn't just a short period of time. Because after 10 years, that Malion and Chilion died. But all of a sudden, she began to hear the prophetic voice that God has visited them in Bethlehem, Judah. And she began to migrate to her. But the key I want us to see there, when did she go back? Verse 22. That's the most important thing I want us to see. We all know that she went back. We know the story. But when? So Naomi returned. Let's say, so Naomi returned. And Ruth, the Moabites, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Barley harvest signifies the beginning of Pentecost. You're going to continue barley harvest, then enter the wheat harvest till the end. So that was when they returned. And what happened again? God gave them a token. She gave birth to Obed. Ruth chapter 4, verse 17. Ruth chapter 4, verse 17. After she returned, you know all of the story in that season, in that time of visitation, what happened? And the women, our neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called the name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. So God did that again in that season of Pentecost, between types and shadows, to confirm again that, look, what I have said, I will bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. So, where are we now? Right now, we are in the season of the Feast of Tabernacles. We all know, we've heard it many times. I have defined what it means. The life of Christ being made manifest in our mortal flesh, in our soul, the ability of the mind of Christ, in which we begin to do greater works than the Master did. We are going to despise the nations, do all these things. And I have a scripture here that God showed me. 1 Peter chapter 2, which from verses 11 to 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Peter began to talk. And he said something. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as what? Strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Why? He begins to talk about, he's about to mention another visitation. He says, look, there is a visitation coming. But begin to do what? To abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Next verse. Having your what? Conversation or conduct honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as what? Evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God what? In the day of visitation. That means there's a day of visitation coming. But before that day comes, we are to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Paul says, having therefore this promise, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting the holiness in the fear of God. Praise the Lord. So Peter begins to warn that God is telling us today, there is another vision that is coming. This manifestation of the glory of God, the power of God, miracles, signs, and what we heard about. But see, the key is for us to be prepared by abstaining from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Praise the Lord. And now going back to the story of Abraham, as I begin to round up, what do we do in that season of visitation? We need to look at the story of Abraham and Sarah. What did they do? when their own visitation came. You see, because when God came, Sarah was not there. It was Abraham that God saw. And thank God that Abraham was ready. Because he wasn't there, God would have walked by. One thing about the master is this. Read through the scriptures. It looks strange. You see the master walking on water and he will walk past them. They will not call him before he turns back. He won't say, are you really hungry for me to come in? Or when he joined the book after his resurrection on the way to Emmaus, he didn't reveal himself. He just kept walking with them. After he was going to go and say, God, please, why don't you just come and stay with us tonight? It's late. That means if he's not invited, he will not go. Understand about the master. He says, oh Lord, why hide that? What does God do that? He wants it, but I really want it. Yes, he'll be walking. He's walking on the sea. They said they saw him pass by. They didn't at the end until they called and they came. They said, next time again, after the resurrection, he was walking again. He was talking to them, sharing with them. And all of a sudden, he was going to go. But, do you really want more? Are you going to settle for Pentecost? What until they now said, don't go, Master, please. They didn't know it was him. I said, come. Same thing again with Mary. After his resurrection, the first woman that saw him, they all got there. Apostles got there. They went in, don't believe, but did not see anything. But they all left. This is the time to go the extra mile and seek God face to face with all your heart. It was Mary Magdalene. Nana began to weep. And I saw the president was the master. He said, where have you kept? He said, the Bible thought he was the gardener. And until now said, Mary. He said, Rabboni. Then I said, don't touch me. How, do you understand something about the master? He wants to see, you see, this thing we are talking about, do we really thirst for it, like really want it? Are we just satisfied with where we are? So what am I saying? Let's look at the life of Abraham. As I begin to round up, how are we going to get this thing? How is it going to come to pass? We know we're in that season. We know we're in that time of visitation, like I said. It's a season in which God will bring promises that we've forgotten, that looks impossible, in which will bring them to pass, especially this manifestation of the sons of God that we're all waiting for. Number one, I said we have to be honored through spiritual fathers which have an understanding of times and seasons and are watching and praying always. We all know. But instead, look at the story of Abraham, Genesis chapter 18, which one, verse 1. It's a very interesting story. And the Lord, let's go, and the Lord appeared unto him, who? Talking about Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat what? In the tent door in the heat of the day. What would have happened if Abraham was not around? Mommy would always pray a prayer. He said, in the days that kings go to battle, God, don't let me stay at home. There's a time you ought to be in the right place. Thank God this was not the time that he went to Egypt. Because God would have just walked by. You know, if you know that story, it was God the Father, God the Son, God that came visiting. So many they saw Abraham. They didn't say I'm God the Father, God said, but Abraham knew. Are you following me? So next verse. You can see he's sitting. Are you following me? And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them. You can see from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. So you reference. How come he knew? Praise the Lord. And said, my Lord, if now I found favor, the set time to favor Zion has come in thy sight. Pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. So you can see there that see when he visits his people, God will set an Abraham sitting in front of a tent, like the elders sit at the gate of the city, watching and praying in the heat of the day. So immediately he saw the three men come, he knew, said, this is a time of visitation. Praise the Lord. So, we can see that from that scripture. Then the second thing we do is that we begin to practice their instructions to hasten his coming or his promise. We are going to see that the next thing that happened. Because Sarah was nowhere to be found. It was not there. It is not for Sarah to sit, so to speak. Sarah, that is a type of a church, the woman. But she was in subjection under Abraham. Let's open about Genesis chapter 18, verse 6. Let's see what he said. Immediately Abraham knew. What did he do? He ran inside. And Abraham what? Hastened into the tent unto Sarah. You have to be in the tent. And said, make ready. Say, make ready. Not just ready. Quickly. Three what? Measures of find meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. So he ran inside the tent and told Sarah and said, quickly make what? 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. There's no way you're going to make without fire, without make meal without fire. How the Bible talked about the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. It says the kingdom of God is like a woman. Are we there? Another parable, bless you. Another parable. Spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Which what? A woman. Talking about the church. That type of what Sarah did. Which a woman took and what? Hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. But you see, it's the woman in the tents that will be that instruction. Are you following me? So that was what Sarah did. And that's what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to continue to use the blood, the word, and spirit to perfect the love of God until the whole is leavened, spirit, soul, and body. And you know, as they continue doing that, and as Sarah continued doing that, over that period of time, what happened? They asked the question, I think it's in verse 9, to be sure, because they are not yet entered. He said, where is Sarah? Put it in verse 9 or something. I think it's in verse 9. They asked Abraham a question that God is asking us today. And they said unto him, to what? Abraham. Where is what? Sarah thy wife. And what is it? And said what? Behold, in the tent. We're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the day that you have to be in the tent. Doing what you've been told to do. Preparing those 3 measures of meal until they are fully leavened. So he said, behold, in the tent. What would have happened if Sarah was not there? Or had gone about doing something else? Abraham was in his place. But see, Sarah had a place, a type of a church now, in the tent. But says was subjection to her husband, calling him Lord. As it was submission, it was there. So immediately Abraham saw it. Sarah did not see it. Using Sarah as a type of a church. He went straight away and ran inside. And said, look. Sarah, this is a time of visitation. Quickly, do this. And I gave him that same instruction, which I brought out in the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. It's like a woman that took 3 measures of meal and put 11 on the whole world. That was the instruction that Sarah was carrying out. And at the end of the day, as she continued carrying that instruction, we now go back to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 21, verse 1 to 3 that we read earlier on. It was the carrying out of that instruction inside the tent as they prepared the meal and everything that God now said, he told them, according to the time of life, Sarah will have a child. Like Pastor told us at the beginning of the year. See, according to the time of life, Sarah will have a child. Now, the child we are talking about now is the manifestation of the life of God in the mortal flesh. Are you following me? We must not get it wrong. It is that will now bring about all the other promises that we are believing God for. If you're having a natural child, having a husband, having a good job, whatever it is. But you see, once that one kicks in or happens, then the rest is a sure banker. If this spiritual measure begins to manifest, when it begins to manifest, is there anything too difficult for God to do? Yes. So, if, let's say, it manifests today, and Pastor and Mommy come here and they begin to preach, it's going to be just like that. Just like that. What you've been waiting for, what looks absolutely impossible, just be happy like that. So, he said, that's what happened this season. He said, Sarah was in her place. I said, okay, quickly. This is a time of visitation. You must recognize it. I've seen 3 men have come to visit me. We have begun to pray these 3 measures of meal. And of course, Sarah obeyed. And then they gave that promise. I said, according to the time of life, Sarah will have a child. It looked impossible. She laughed. Because the time was gone. And God said something. He said, is there anything too difficult for God to do? If you can find it, that same somewhere down. No, in 18. He said, is there anything too difficult for God to do? Verse 18, I believe. 17 or so. He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. According to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And of course, we know what happened. God kept his promise. And Sarah conceived and gave birth to Isaac, the child of promise. So I don't know what promise we are trusting God for in individual lives today. Like I said again, I'll repeat. God is going to visit us individually. He's going to visit his church. And he's going to visit our nation. And when he visits the nation, or us in Valley or the church, is going to bring about promises that have long been forgotten, especially the manifestation of these sons of God. So when that kicks in, every other promise that we are trusting God for will surely come to pass. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to prayer and let's talk to the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bible says, against hope, he believed in hope, that he might be the father of many nations. Let's talk to God. Because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. I'll just read that scripture as you talk to God and stand on. He said, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able also to perform. Let's stand to our feet as we pray.
God Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life receive.
Suddenly return and never.
Suddenly return and never. Nevermore thy temple sleep. Thee we will be always blessed. Serve us, thy hosts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing. Glory in thy perfect love.
Finish now thy new creation.
Finish now thy new creation, pure and spotless. Let us be, let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee.
We're changed
from glory into glory, till in purpose we take our place, till we fast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Let's take that verse again. Finish now thy new creation.
Finish now thy new creation, pure and spotless. Let us be, let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee, changed from glory into glory, till in purpose we take our place, till we cast our crown. before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Let us respond to the Lord by putting one hand on our hearts and raising the other hand to heaven as we pray. During that season of visitation. Friends, say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that we are in the time and in the season of your visitation. I come to ask for mercy. I come to ask for your grace afresh to enable me to dwell under the covering of my spiritual fathers. And like Sarah, obeying the instructions as I use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect holiness in the fear of God. So that according to the time of life, I will, by your spirit, give birth to the manifestation of the fullness of the Son of God in my mortal flesh. Father, I thank you for your mercies. Lord, just thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love and help. In Jesus' name. Let's now pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. And say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood